Where do your finances stand halfway through 2010? Oh, my God, are we already halfway through the year? Arthur Stein is a certified financial planner with SPC Financial in Rockville, Maryland. And he joins us with some tips on how to keep your pocketbook in check. Good morning, Arthur Stein. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. And is that reaction what you get from a lot of people is, oh, my goodness, the year's half over?
Well, yeah, it is pretty amazing. And it's a good time to think about where you are financially. And I wanted to mention some items that where I notice a lot of problems when I'm doing financial plans for clients. And one is, of course, mortgages. Get to know your mortgage. Find out if you could refinance at a lower rate or with better terms. Find out if it's going to reset and you're going to have a higher payment in the future. If you are, you need to get ready for it. And also with your homeowner's insurance, check with your agent. Make sure that you're fully insured if your house, you know, was completely destroyed. I'm surprised at how many people do not have enough homeowner's insurance. Same thing, another property casualty issue is your legal liability coverage under your auto and homeowner's insurance high enough? A lot of people should be looking at what's called an umbrella liability policy, which will provide $1 million or more in coverage if you were sued and lost a lawsuit.
And Art, I think a lot of federal workers, I know many of them, have a little something going on the side, some kind of a side business, maybe consulting or writing. And so they have to remember estimated taxes. Is that something people tend to overlook when they get those checks coming in with nothing taken out?
Absolutely. You know, estimated taxes, some people need to pay them, others don't. But even the people who don't have, you know, outside income should at least look at the withholding that they're doing now on their, you know, federal payments and make sure that the withholding is sufficient so that they do not owe money at the end of the year. Another important issue is life and disability insurance for people who are still working. Very few people have enough life and disability insurance. And if you're married and your spouse is dependent upon you, if you have kids, this is really a key issue. If you're approaching retirement, it's time to start looking at long-term care insurance. And another big problem I see a lot is people either do not have wills and powers of attorney, or they have not been updated in many years. They no longer meet the needs of the person that has them. So go through your wills and powers of attorney, and if they haven't been updated in the last 5 to 10 years or more, have a lawyer look at them.
I have to ask about the will thing. I have this friend, we were talking about wills, who has a will, who doesn't have a will, and it's just him and his wife, and he says, well, I don't need a will because where I live, everything's going to go to her. When she dies, everything goes to me. What do I need a will for?
Well, remember, with your will, it's kind of a package, and you also are going to get powers of attorney and health care powers of attorney. At least you should. So take your couple. They're in a car. They have an accident. Both of them are severely injured and can no longer make decisions for themselves. Who's legally entitled to make decisions? Nobody. And suppose, you know, one of them dies and the other one can't make decisions. Who's legally entitled? Nobody, because they don't have the powers of attorney and health care powers of attorney that everybody gets today when they get a will, or at least everybody should. So I think just because you're married and you're leaving things to each other, that's not sufficient reason to go ahead and go through the legal process and get that whole package.
And what are the implications if people, say a couple dies at the same time and there's an estate there? What happens to it if they have no heirs?
Well, then the state decides where the money goes. And, you know, I find it's rare to have a couple, even if they don't have kids, who don't care where their money's going to go. Usually there's a charity they want it to go to, or a specific relative or friend. Doesn't make sense not to have a will.
That's right. Well, especially with the condition of states nowadays, they find any excuse they could to keep it.
And the other, you know, as long as we're speaking about legal issues, make sure that the beneficiary forms on your TSP and your IRAs and your life insurance, that they're all up to date, that the beneficiaries mentioned are the ones who want to actually receive the money.
Arthur Stein is a certified financial planner with SPC Financial. And we've talked about this before, but I have to ask again, what is going on with us that this isn't a priority? I mean, the way you put it, I want to go right out and start updating wills and getting all my stuff together and getting everything in order. It really sort of lights a fire in my belly. So I wonder why this isn't already top of mind for us. We are, after all, talking about money.
Well, it should be, but you know, it's surprising. You know, most people will spend more time planning a vacation than they do planning their finances. People don't like to think about this. To think about a will is to think about I'm dying. I'm going to die early. To think about, you know, like a healthcare power of attorney is to think I could be completely disabled, not able to make any decisions for myself. And it's complicated. It's not that people aren't smart enough. They just, you know, it's not their area of expertise. I mean, I have clients who are, you know, literally rocket scientists, and they can't figure out their finances. Well, they're smart enough to, you know, launch a rocket or do whatever they do at NASA. This is just not their area of expertise. People should get help. And one of the reasons is the person who's helping them has the expertise, but the other reason is that they have the time. And we'll make the time to do the work. And most of us are too busy.
And Art, I had a question about mortgages, because you mentioned that the rates now are still amazingly low. There's some real bargains out there. And if you are refinancing a house and you go from one 30-year to another 30-year, say, for example, when does it become worthwhile? At what level, what change, I should say, in the interest rate does it become worthwhile to make that switch? And if you've been paying on a mortgage for, say, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, does it pay to start all over again at a smaller interest rate?
Well, see, Tom, you mentioned the key issue. It's how long you're going to stay in the house. I mean, if you're going to be in the house 10 years, even a $50 a month savings by refinancing your mortgage can make sense for you. If you don't expect be in the house for 1 or 2 years, you would need a huge savings in the mortgage for it to make sense. And so that's just a calculation that's specific to each and every person. You know, how quickly is the cost of the refinance going to be paid back, you know, by the lower monthly payments? It's an individual decision, but it does depend upon how long you expect to be in the house. But another reason to refinance is that, you know, maybe you have an adjustable rate mortgage and you'd like to get out of that because interest rates are more likely to go up than down. Maybe you have an interest-only mortgage or some other type of mortgage which is not as good as a 30-year fixed rate.